Where are we when it comes to Omaha Beach in our soul? This is a battle, and it's a lot more gruesome than even Omaha Beach. There are people being thrown into hell. And hell is a lot worse than Omaha Beach. It is the most disastrous thing we could ever imagine. Ever try and conjure up a picture for. William Booth said, if he could end his discipleship when he trains young ministers of the gospel, if he could finish it up with having them hang over hell for a day, they would truly be ready for the ministry. We must know what is at stake. We oftentimes look at our own soul and say, as long as I don't go to hell. But if we had a clear picture of what this was about, if we recognized what is truly in the ascendant and what the import of all of this means, that souls will be lost for eternity unless someone becomes the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of God on earth. Until someone begins to pray and bring down the truths of the kingdom of heaven to this earth, so that the truths and the realities of Jesus Christ will be made manifest and known to the people of this earth. Who will do it? Who will stand? The Spirit of God is searching to and fro throughout the earth, saying, who will stand in the breach? Who will stand for me? Who will represent me to this earth? Who will do it? And he looks down upon America, a church full of ekkakekio. And he speaks, and no one responds, because we're all sleeping. Even those of us that have the truth, that have purified the gospel, that fear God and tremble at his word, even we are asleep. Sunday going into Monday, Eric was asleep. Yes, I'm shamed to say it, but that's the reason I'm talking to you about it now. Is because God said, Eric, I do not care if in the past you've had no flab. All I care about is that you had flab on Sunday night. That flab cannot remain. My God has a jealous guardianship over my life. He's not harsh on me. In fact, he was extremely gentle on Monday morning. I didn't feel condemned. In fact, I felt emboldened. I felt stronger to say, this will not happen again. Dear Lord Jesus, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be strong always? It's what Leslie and I call no downtime. There's never an opportunity, I don't care how big the bait is, to say, just give into a little self-pity. Just for 10 minutes. No downtime. Do not heed the voice of the enemy even for an instant. And I get the bait all the time just like you do. It doesn't go away. In fact, if anything, it increases. I know what it's like to be hit. If you want a seminar on being hit, Ben and I could be the ones to lead it. We know what it is to be undermined, to literally have the enemy come at you time and time again, over and over. Where you don't feel like you can stand any longer, where your hand is growing weak on that sword, and all you want to do is throw it down and say, I should have followed all of Israel in the first place. Why did I even stand here? If God was God, he would have defeated these Philistines a long time ago. Why is this battle lasting so long? But instead of running, you cleave your hand into the sword all the more and you say, my king still stands, therefore I will. And we will not go down today. That is the life of the mighty. That is the expectation of the Christian. We do not need to have a moment of downtime. Will we? Probably. But we don't accept it. Will we have a little flab around the edges at any moment of time from here till the end? Oh yeah. But we don't accept it. And when God exposes it, we say, dear God, what must I do to be saved? Dear God, remove this from me. I don't want anything to hinder my readiness, my availability to your glory. Because this is about a kingdom and about a king's glory. And we have to be ready day in and day out. We have to be ready in season and out of season. Whether or not we sense a battle looming, we are ready. And that is the gospel life. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is Jesus. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's never an allotment for downtime. Doesn't that seem just exhausting to think about? I need my downtime. Please, God. Who's speaking? Is that your spirit speaking or is that the flesh? The flesh craves downtime, but guess what? your spirit doesn't need it. The spiritual man within you that is being reborn, remade, regenerated, that is literally becoming a picture of Jesus Christ, you know that he need not be comforted with downtime, with pleasure time, to just literally go brain dead and become a vegetable. Our American culture is what tells us we need that. God wants us to be sharp. That does not mean that there cannot be anything of pleasure in life. I have a tremendous amount of pleasure in my life. But it is spirit-born pleasure. It's not flesh-born pleasure. We can spend time together and we can laugh. However, even in those moments, we must be ready. And if we're in the middle of laughing and God says, I need you to pray, that every single one of us hears it and we say, we need to pray. When I was first married, 13 years ago, almost this exact time of year, I was finishing up a teaching year. So we were going into the end, into the beginning of summer. I had always been the happiest guy around. I was known as Smiley. You know how I always smile? I've always been that way. I remember I gave a message in my first year of marriage on martyrdom. I always wanted to die a martyr. So I gave a message on martyrdom. This lady comes up to me, and I still have no idea what to do with this. But she said, Satan wants to sift you. He wants to steal your joy. You know what my response was? Well, he's not going to get it. Cocky, arrogant Eric. Can't touch me. See this joy? God put it here. Satan can't take it. I have some type of impermeable existence that I can just sort of meander my own way and the enemy can't touch me. Eric had to wake up. Yeah, if I'm abiding in Jesus Christ, dependent upon Jesus Christ, the enemy can't touch me. But guess what? If I stray as a little lamb wandering about looking for food, and I stray away from the shepherd's ankle, guess what? There are wolves out there ready to devour Eric Luty. And Eric Luty, unfortunately, had to learn this lesson. That when you stray from the shepherd's leg, wolves eat you alive. And my joy was robbed. I was hit so hard, I didn't know which end was up. We entered into ministry, and I saw the backside of the system. I saw the underbelly of everything that's happening. I got into the green rooms, and I saw all these men that I esteemed, and I saw them the way they really are. I was hit so hard I didn't know which end was up. I was so disillusioned. It's like, and of course, all I had to do was live with myself too. I esteemed, just like Paul in Romans 7, I esteem this to be true. This is the way I want to live. And I couldn't. And it wasn't for lack of discipline. Eric Luty is PTM, perfectly timed man. That was my nickname. I would get to bed at the same time every night, and I'd wake up at, well, for a season of my life, it was 4:41, and then at 5:42. I was in charge of like a whole dorm's wake-up. You rely on Eric Luty because he will carry it upon his own shoulders. And guess what? He'll fail. Eric had a lot of natural ability. Eric had a natural ability to communicate and draw a crowd. Eric had a natural ability intellectually to know how to work with people socially and to make them like him. That was Eric. That wasn't the Spirit of God. And God had to parse that out and prove to me the difference. It wasn't that I didn't love the Word of God. It wasn't that I didn't esteem it. It's that I was in the way and I was a rebel the whole time under the banner of sharing the gospel. It was me sharing it. It wasn't the Spirit of God breaking people's hearts and lives. Eric was in the way. First year of marriage. We're moving from Michigan to Colorado. I would find myself getting so anxious over things. I was never anxious in my entire life. I was always so easygoing and laid back. Suddenly, anxiety had me. We had packed up this, and we had four different locations where our stuff was, and I felt like disorganized. I love to be organized. My stuff was in an attic here, it was in a barn over here, and I felt chaotic. So we had to go from one place to the other with this U-Haul, and I was picking stuff up, but it wasn't like packed the way I wanted it to be packed. I wanted to have everything out, and I wanted to organize it, big pieces in the back, the boxes stacked here. Instead, I had to like do this hodgepodge mix. Oh, here's the attic. And it has like all sorts of stuff that doesn't go in here, but we have to put it in because then we have to go to this place and load it in. Oh, it's stressful. Finally closed the door to the U-Haul. I was exhausted. I was fatigued spiritually, emotionally, physically. I came into the little condo unit that we had, and through the back door onto the back patio, I saw our grill. And something happened in that moment. I snapped. Eric Luthe snapped. I literally fell onto the floor, and I was paralyzed. I was paralyzed with stress. I couldn't handle it. I can't do this. You ever had statements like, I can't do this. I'm laying on the floor. This is 13 years ago. I'm very proud of it. I'm laying on the floor. Leslie's concerned about me. I'm her strong protector, and I'm laying there. You know what Leslie said to me? She wasn't all concerned about this the way I was. She says, we could just leave it here. It was brilliant. But I was past that point. I'd given over to something. I gave over to stress. I gave over to anxiety because I deserved it. The circumstances around me just validated me giving sway to anxiety and letting it in and saying, have your way with my soul, anxiety. I gave it room. I yielded. And that anxiety controlled me. For I'd say 6 years. Every time super stressful situations would awaken within our ministry, which that happened all the time, I'd be in a back room paralyzed. I was under the thumb of something. I was controlled by something other than the Spirit of God. I didn't even realize it. I remember I went to a movie at one point in time. This is quite a few years ago, 7 years ago. It's called 13 Days. Wouldn't recommend it. It wasn't necessarily that good of a movie. It was about the Cuban Missile Crisis. And it was John and Bobby Kennedy. They had the weight of the world on their shoulders, and they needed to make decisions. They needed to make decisions that could possibly cost people, millions of lives. And they were calm. They were making decisions, and they were lucid. I was watching the movie, and I was paralyzed. It took me that long to realize, there's something wrong, Eric. Because I need to be able to call upon you, Eric, in a time of need, and you're useless to me. You're useless. You can't respond. You can't even think straight. You're paralyzed when I need you most. This has to go. I remember I was reading right after that. I remember praying. It's like, God, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? Because this is killing me. I was reading this, I think it was Passion and Purity by Elizabeth Elliot, and she says, God took me through a season of building tensile strength in me. I was like, what's that? Never even heard the word. So I looked it up. And it's not muscular strength. It's different. It's a different type of strength. It's like the strength of a rope is measured with tensile strength. So it's like if you tied a boulder to a rope and dropped it off a cliff, that rope is measured by how much weight it can endure, how much stress it can endure without cracking. I'm sitting here reading this definition thinking, I have none of it. I crack at the smallest thing. People on the outside didn't see it. You know, at the age of 28, I was in the hospital with extreme chest pains. I thought I was having a heart attack. I couldn't even carry anything. I'm in the hospital with a stress disorder. It wasn't a heart attack, it was a stress disorder. Could you imagine Jesus Christ in the hospital in Galilee with a stress disorder? Eric Luthe was not a shining light of the gospel on planet Earth. It was a failure. It was a shame and a disgrace to the name of Jesus Christ. I was under the thumb of something other than Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. I was not showing what God had purchased for me. He's made a way into this throne room of grace. And I wasn't partaking of it. So I remember saying, God, I need you to build me. I need you to make me. Whatever needs to happen in the life of Eric Luthe to free me from this and to make me a man, do it. About 7 years ago. I don't get paralyzed in times of stress. In fact, anyone that's watched me in times of stress, I'm not under the thumb of it. In fact, you probably won't even believe the story if you liken me to what happened back then. I'm a different man. Why? Because I muscled my way through it? Oh no. It's because I cried out to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved? What do you have that cures this ailment? I have grace for you, my son. I will give you the power of Jesus Christ. It's at your disposal. And when you're in that situation, you call on me. You yield to me, and I will come in and I will rescue you. I will save you in the moment. And I will make you strong." I've learned how to call upon Jesus Christ in the moment. And it's a moment. Because it's that moment where you have the bait of what you've previously turned to. And it's comfortable. In that moment when the bait is presented, the crisis is in front of you, God says, "Which way will you turn? Are you a new man or not? My throne room is open to you. And I have everything you need for life and godliness right here. But it's simple faith that will turn this way and say, I know my God has it for me. And I know that if I turn this way, He will not let me down. And He has never let me down. Every time I have turned towards Him, He has given me the sustenance." Can't tell you how many guys I've dealt with on this exact point. There's that moment of temptation for lust. That pornography is sitting right in front of them. And to girls, they don't oftentimes understand how that works. It's like, why would a guy do that? It's stupidity at the highest level, yes. But it's spiritual. There is some type of stronghold there in a guy's life. And when that bait is set there in front, he has a choice. It's a very quick moment that he must choose. And in that moment, he can call out to the living God and say, "The throne room of heaven is what I need. I need what you have, Jesus Christ, right now. And you have the strength to turn and leave it in the dust. I've proven it over and over again in my life. It works. The Spirit of God is willing. The Spirit of God is willing to help you in that time. That's why your spirit is willing. Because His Spirit is willing and it's matching. It's in concert with His. He's saying, I'm willing to help you right now, but you must turn. You must allow me. I will give you that land, but you must step forward and allow me to take it for you. Jericho is not too strong. The Anakites are not too big. Those walled cities are not too tall. 31 empires, who cares? I'm the God of the universe. You turn to me in this moment and I will give you my supply. And it will be enough for you to succeed in this moment. Athleo Stefano. There's a word in 2 Timothy, and that's it. That's in the Greek. It actually says Athleo Stefano, which means, right there, contending for the crown. It's a term used in the Olympics. It's a Greek word, Greek Olympics, right? It's the athlete. The athlete who contends. Athleo is to contend, to compete, to go after. Stefano, for the wreath, the crown, the glory, the achievement, the victory. Athleo Stefano. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What have we been saying? Here's Paul speaking to Timothy, and even in the context, he's saying, everyone has turned away from me. All Asia, they turned away from me. God bless Onesiphorus because he didn't. But they all turned away. Do you realize, Timothy, that we're in a battle? Right before that, he's saying, stir up the gift that is in you because you're going to need it. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's the power of love and a sound mind. He's given us what we need for this battle, Timothy. They've all left me. So, you want to know what I'm going to tell you, Timothy? My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't be a weakling. Don't be a flab. Be strong. Because that time is coming where you will need all that strength. Be strong in that grace. It's available to you. Learn it now. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This isn't a metaphor. This is real. You might not think that you want to be in the military. You are. And if you choose not to be in God's military, you choose to just be a common man in the kingdom, you're going to die. If you're not armed, if you don't have the artillery that God has given you, if you don't go into that war chest in heaven and take it, if you don't clothe yourself in the shield, in the breastplate, in the helmet, shod your feet, take up the sword, you will die. That's not an exaggeration. You will die. You be a soldier or you die. So whether you like it or not, you need to learn to fight. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, that's athleo stephano, strive for masteries, that's the term for the Olympics, contend for the crown, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. You don't pass through stop signs. You make sure you update your license plates. There are things in the Word of God that are an indictment to us as a group. When we stand in light of them and the officer of the Word of God comes to us and says, did you know that you went through that stop sign? We have nothing to say. We have no excuse. Let's just admit it now. Let's come before the throne of grace and say, dear God, I'm a fraud. Dear God, I have shadow in my life and it cannot be there any longer. I'm not going to play this up for this group around me. I need to be saved, and I'm not going to mince words about it. I need to be saved. Just because I'm in a group that talks about all this lofty stuff, I need it. And I'm going to say it right now, I don't have it. If you don't have it, cry out for it. If you don't have it, go after it, because it's life, and without it, you die. If you don't have that armament upon you, cry out for it, because without it, you're dead. This is about life. This isn't about head knowledge. This is about life. And it's in the ascendant tonight. And he will tax the remotest star and the last grain of sand to assist you, but you must cry out for it. You must believe that it's there, and you must take it. Because God is saying, I don't want you to allow Ekkakekio into your existence for a moment. What are you doing? We are the hands and feet of God on this earth. He has entrusted the job of his heart being expressed, of his duties being accomplished to us. But are we ready? Let's just be honest. There's shadow in our life. There is flab in our life, and if it's in us, how much more is it in the rest of the church? Because we're front line ready to give our lives. What is wrong with us that we're even allowing any of it in? Because there's a dying world out there and they need Christians. Christians of the stuff of old. Christians of the power of God. Christians that proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ with uncompromising fervor. Christians that love even unto death. Christians that say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, even as they're expiring. Christians that live it and don't just talk it. Christians that actually believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Christians that say with simple faith, I will follow and my God will back me up. We're soldiers. Whether we like it or not, the battle is raging right now. Don't fight it. Head into the armory of heaven with simple faith. Enter into that armory and let him clothe you. Let him place that breastplate upon you, that helmet upon you. Shod your feet. Stick that sword in your hand. And may you never let it go.
Amen. Well, I hope that was encouraging to everybody. I was jumping up and down through part of it the first time I heard it. My spirit was dancing and leaping. But anyway, anybody have anything you'd like to share or add or ask? Okay, Sister Emma, you want to try it again? You got the mic.
Oh, Oh, you can hear me. Oh, praise the Lord. How could I follow such a wonderful, humbling, just such a great, great message from Eric? But I had to get on here because while he and I were saying to the devil, enough is enough. I'm going to try and I'm going to get on here. And I thought, well, I have to keep that commitment. But oh, that was just so wonderful. I could relate to a lot of it. And I had tears and things that he said I could really relate to. And it gave me such a desire to conquer more in my flesh and to move on. So what I was going to say last week, I wanted to refer to the two videos on exhortation, a message by Brother Paris. I wept too. That brought such a heavy anointing through this computer. He truly is a part of God's last remnant, expounding present truth. This is what we need to hear and obey. And I had a little testimony to follow along with this. I experienced much strength of the Lord as I went through some disappointments and troublesome times since November 17th to the end of the year. However, I felt the Lord's peace and His presence like I did not have with past trials. I contribute this to walking in the present truth and light I have received the past year through your Pow Talk ministry. I became more of a doer of the word and not hearer only as I walked through these. However, I realize we have much greater tribulation to cope with in the coming days of greater darkness like never before. But I'm laboring to be prepared for whatever comes my way to be an overcomer. And I pray that for all of us. Your teachings encourage my faith, Dan, and helps to keep me holding on and pressing in. And I also know that because He lives, I can face tomorrow. God is awesome. And your teachings are just such a great help and words of wisdom. And I thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Irma. God bless you. Anybody else have anything to say or share? Or Ed? Sister Jennifer or Johnny, I don't know who that is, but go ahead, you have the mic.
I'll try it one more time. I'll put the speaker closer to me here because I do have more stuff to add, and then we'll see how it sounded. But Jennifer and I couldn't get to watch those movies, couldn't get them to activate or work on our computer, so we ordered Against All Odd CDs set, and it's like a natural example of what we just heard. You know, the wars that have come down through the past, God was there for them, and it really opened my eyes that of Israel is the chosen race. And again, I was going to mention that a month ago, we got a call from Rabbi Eckstein's office and just wished us a blessing and gave us a blessing and a thank you. And things have really been happening since that phone call a month ago. And the stuff with work, the stuff with my truck, the things with stuff selling that we need to get sold. And just things are on a roll here. And this message just cements that desire in. And we're, again, excited to come out that way for a while. And amen and hallelujah. And let's press on. And Jen and I are want to be soldiers. And we want to be have all the armor on. And help us, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Johnny. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Anybody here in the room in our house? You guys want to share anything? No? Okay. All right, last call for the room. Any comments or questions or anything? All right. So we'll see you next week, I guess. God willing, and the river don't rise.